Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned in to Facing Your Fears with evangelist Norma Chapman and Pastor Doris Smith. The host of Facing Your Fears on Blog Talk Radio, evangelist Chapman. Ms. Chapman has interviewed many guests that have been an inspiration as well as a blessing to many of her listeners. She's the author of What Faith Can. Currently writing three other books. She studied and attended Union Baptist Theological College of New Orleans. She's also associate minister at Greater Liberty Baptist Church under the leadership of Dr. Calvin W. Woodford. And from Pastor DePresco. Tired of service in the government of this government country. Pastor. Professional speaker, a life and inspirational coach, and the Power Hour line of inspiration and motivation. A caregiver, wonderful mother, and just an all-around people person. You're here. Fabulous Mama Chapman, her co-host, Pastor Doris Smith.
Good evening to all of our listeners on today. Yes, you are now tuned in to Face Your Fears radio talk show hosted by your evangelist, Chapman, with our awesome co-host out of Miami, Florida, none other than Pastor Doris Smith. We are talking on today about our show, and we're happy to have you tuned in with us on today. But remember, you too can join in on the show. Topic just by pressing that number one on your phone. If you have any comments, I just want to share your thoughts or your experience on today's topic. And we have another exciting show prepared for you on today with our special guest, Mr. Oliver Thomas. Right here, a good friend out of New Orleans, Louisiana. We're so very happy to have him as our special guest on today. But as always, let's bow our heads for our opening prayer, co-host.
Father, we thank you. We praise you once more again, Lord God. We honor you today. In the beauty and the blessings of this brand new day, we look to you in all things. Even now, as we come together to share information, to pour into the world in a positive way that will make a positive impact, we thank you for all connected this evening, all of our listeners. We thank you for our special guest today, and information shared will truly be inspirational, and it will be helpful for us, knowledge needed to go forth in positivity. We thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. We want to apologize for the noise that's in the background on today. Listen, just bear with us. We'll be getting that noise out of the way in a few minutes as we proceed with our show. Yes, today's topic will be how to use public policy to help your community. And I know those of you that tune in on today know that we need to learn policies of how to use it to better our communities. And without further ado, we're not going to prolong the time. We're going to bring in our special guest live into the studio with us, none other than Mr. Oliver Thomas. How you doing today, Mr. Thomas?
Man, well, first of all, do you, Ms. Thompson, evangelist Norma Chapman, and the audience are facing your fears. It's good to be back. Great show last time, man, honoring iconic figures in radio. I never figured myself an iconic figure in meeting radio, but it was a great show. Made a lot of great friends around the country who are doing media. Just good to be here with you and your audience. I'm doing well. If I was doing any better, Ms. Norma, I'd be you.
God bless you. God bless you. Certainly a pleasure having you back in our circle on today, with the co-host and I. The last time we was on the Zoom with many other radio personalities, they were all joined together with us to talk about what we do in our city. But today, it's all about you, Oliver. We want to hear from you on today and what you have prepared for the listeners on today. And as you sent me, as I was reading your discussion for today, I was very it was joy in my heart to know you're going to be speaking on some of those things that pertain to the city council. So we're just going to let you go it on now and let you have your way. You may proceed with your topic for today, Ms. Oliver.
Well, first of all, my prayers go out to everybody out there fighting with COVID, this Delta variant, man, whether they're struggling through it, it's real out there. We need to make sure we're being safe. We need to make sure we're practicing good habits and good protocols and being as healthy as we can. Yeah, I'm running for office in the city of New Orleans, District E. I'm number 72. That's a city council seat in New Orleans. District E is one of the largest African-American municipal districts in the Gulf South. And I have my name on the ballot, man, to represent that city, that district, rather. As a matter of fact, I call it a city. That's really no accident. If that district stood alone, it would be one of the sixth or seventh largest cities in the state of Louisiana. So though it's a council district, that's part of the city of New Orleans. New Orleans East and its entirety has some of the largest and strongest African-American middle class and upper middle class, and its population is probably between 80 and 90,000. If you include that part of District D, that's part of what we call the East. The city council in New Orleans. New Orleans has a strong mayor, strong council form of government. Of course, our mayor is our administrator, but the city council is responsible for land use, zoning, leases, budgeting, appropriation, amending the budget. The city council also has subpoena power, and we're working to make sure that the city council returns to the glory it used to have, man, where it not only represented people, but it represented the checks and balances to make sure that folk were getting the type of services that they desire. And over the last several years, the city council has been, I don't want to say just a rubber stamp, but many people have been elected that didn't understand the job description or their charter responsibility when it came to those very important districts. So those five council districts, and we have two at-large districts, many, I don't think, understood the role that they play in government and the job that in the power that your charter gives them. So my job and many others who are seeking to run for office now want to restore that dignity, restore that pride, and restore that glory. Evangelist Chapman, you remember the Jim Singletons and the Dorothy Taylors and the Peggy Wilsons and George Russo the world when they had a knowledge and a voice for people. You know, we've kind of lost that. And that doesn't mean that the council uses its power to be obstructionist or to fight the mayor. It uses its power to make sure that the balance is there so that the mayor can be its best and greater and as accountable all at the same time. So that's where we are in the city right now, man, the host of our municipal elections. And the mayor is running for re-election too.
Yes. But, Mr. Thomas, out here in the East, I'm a resident of the East. And, you know, the East used to be a place where everybody used to love to come. We had the Lake Forest Shopping Center out here. We even had Walmart. We had with that,
the Sam's. Lake Forest Mall, the Lowe's, yeah.
Man, you know, we don't have any of those things now. They brought it all over to Slidell or either over the river. So I would like to see a lot of that come back into the city of New Orleans, because when you get ready to go shopping, we have to go all the way to Metairie, to Sam's Kenner, over the river. I would like to see some of those things come back. Can you share with us what is your vision of how you are going to make a difference here in our district?
Well, as you know, you live here right now. New Orleans East is number one in every area that represents a social ill or a problem, man, which is never was. In a lot of my conversations and a lot of my advertising on social media, I talk about being a kid growing up in the lower Ninth Ward, and it was a treat to drive to New Orleans East to see my aunt or the relatives who lived out here. You thought when you went to the East, man, go East, young man, young woman, it was a sign that you had made it, you know. And of course, it's a stark contrast to that. Now, New Orleans East is number one in overall crime. Number one is violent crime. Number one in domestic violence against women. Number one in carjacking. Number one in property crime. The disparity gap has grown. We haven't increased the population. Many of our communities out here, people who could afford to leave, have left. And that's not a good sign, especially for the largest African-American municipal district. So for me, I want to take a look at making sure we're safe. You know, how do we not only fund the police department, but what formula do we use, Evangelist Chapman? I think because of the size of New Orleans East and its landmass, cannot use the same formula for that district that you do for other districts, because calls for service, landmass, the times, the drive times, times crimes, time people. I think that's the formula we have to use right now to make sure that New Orleans East has a representative share of law enforcement. You know, not that you want to take away from any other districts, but if we're leading in the way of many of these crime categories, then I think it deserves the attention and the manpower to mitigate that, suppress that, and get back to the way of life that you described earlier. So that's one thing.
Yeah.
The other thing with yeah. business, man, we have NASA, the Space Center, the Michoud District there. We have mm-hmm. the brand new New Orleans East Hospital. We have some underdeveloped and undeveloped economic corridors. How do we use land use and zoning, man, to incentivize growth around those areas like the hospital and like Michoud and the business district and the waterfront? And how do we use zoning to create new zoning classifications that create more growth? Those are some of the things that I want to do.
Yes, yes, yes. And also, Mr. Thomas, I want you to talk a little bit about, but we do have a caller that's calling in, and we do mm-hmm. want to hear what the people have to say that's mm-hmm. living in this district. We want to hear from them, of course, and I know you would like to answer some of their questions or be concerned about some of the things that they're concerned about here in our district. But I wanted you to share a little bit with us about the performances measure of what we can do about our laws of a master planning approaching our police department. And we already mentioned the crime that's out here. That's not a shock to anybody that's listening that's tuned in mm-hmm. on today. But also how we can require for more contractors and more city agencies. Let's hear a little bit about that from you. What are your visions on that?
Well, you talk about the laws. Of course, you know, some people in the discussion about where the new city hall ought to be. Advocates like Troy Henry, who was on the mayor's infrastructure transition team, who ran for mayor, myself on our talk show, you know, as I host a mm-hmm. Good Morning Show on WBOK 5 days a week. We have done several segments on New Orleans East, not only seceding from the city, but getting the attention it deserves to making sure that, if nothing else, maybe a city hall or a portion of major city services should relocate to the east, especially since that's where the majority of the population is that uses those services. So that's one of the things that I am proposing. Why not a branch of sewage and water board service, a branch of government municipal services? You know, let's take a look at how we use some of those zoning classifications, our new zoning classifications, to incentivize growth and development. A lot of people think mm-hmm. business just goes downtown or by the riverfront. No, in many cases, there's a carrot or there's something that's dangled. There's incentives for those folk to go downtown to the riverfront, to the quarter area, to the medical center area. Well, why can't we use those same carrots and same incentives out here in New Orleans East?
I agree. I totally agree. Another thing that I'm concerned about is the lights. You know, I've been on this topic forever. Before the mayor, you know, when she was running the first time, what are we going to do about this dark city? You know, we are just, I've never seen a city as dark as New Orleans. And we should be lit up, man. This is the city of New Orleans. But we have an issue with our lights and another issue is the streets. You know, you're tearing up your cars with the raggedy bad mm-hmm. streets. So what into improve those things? I mean, that's one of my concerns. I don't know, maybe someone else may have a concern as well. And in reference to the dogs, because when you get in your car, you talk about somebody hijacking your car and robbing you. Well, you can have your lights on in your car and you're still in the dark. You still cannot see how to go from to and fro because of the street lights are so dimmed. And that's one of the concerns I am very much concerned about, as well as these streets. You know, look like Sewage and Water Board is tearing up everything in the city of New Orleans. And with that, on that note, you're tearing up your car. You're paying for you're paying a lot of money for your car, and then boom, you're tearing it up as you drive in the city of New Orleans. What are your visions concerning those things?
Well, you know, one of the biggest jokes of throughout all of our lifetime, I know mine even as a kid, is you got to have whiplash insurance just to drive around the city of New Orleans. That's been a joke for years. To the mayor's credit, we see a lot of work, infrastructure work being done. A lot of the money that the last administration set on, she's spending. But I don't know that it's being performed in space because they're not doing the work quick enough. We have street projects and overlay projects, man, that they've been working on for 8, 9, or 10 months where folk have stopped. So,
yeah.
You know, I've gotten some work done and speeded up because I've gone around taking pictures and worked with a lot of the city folk. But, you know, what type of process are they using? If a contractor is working on a street, then they shouldn't be stopping going to work on another street. And if they're not getting paid on time, pay them timely, since especially it's FEMA money and federal money, the money's already there. So how do we improve the process? That's one of the things I would be looking for as a council member. Now, with the lighting, we've had dark spots on our interstate where we know there have been several shootings from the high-rise to that area between Crowder and Reed. That's a spot where it seems like a lot of the criminals know if you're following somebody, you can kind of have a interstate shoot them up in those spots. That's a responsibility of the state, looking to partner with DOTD to have a loud voice to make sure that doesn't happen. And in the other parts of our community, what type of LED lighting are we using now? There's different types of lighting that can be that can illuminate a lot stronger. So we're in the 21st century right now, Evangelist Chapman. There are a lot of things we can do to improve in those areas.
Yes, and that's my biggest concern. Put some light on me. I'm scared to get out of my car, even though my lights on my car is bright. You put your bright lights on and you're still in the dark. I said, I look up, and I said, well, look at some little bitty yellow lights we got there. So let's lighten this city up some more. Bless you, and my prayers are with you. We do have a caller, and we're not going to put on it, because we only have an hour on the show today. We're going to bring that caller in now. Caller from Aracote 504. Last four digits of your number is 8011. A caller from 504. Last four digits is 8011. Good afternoon, caller. How are you today?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Evangelist.
Good evening. Good evening. How are you doing, my dear?
Doing wonderfully blessed. Wonderfully blessed. So good to hear our council person. Oliver Thomas, who is doing, has done and will do a wonderful job once he becomes councilman. I've been of District E. I've been in District E for the last, I would say, 50 years, homeowner. And my concern is, you know, we have to leave out of District E to go across the city, as you said, Evangelist, Metairie, Slidell, and other places just to shop. There is a strip of shopping stores in that Claiborne corridor. I would like to see something like that, Councilman. And in our district, so we could at least not have to drive across the city to just to get a shirt, a pair of slacks, uniforms, and whatever. So my concern is just that, and hoping and praying that you will, and I know you have the capabilities and the talent to do that, to make it happen this time. Make it happen.
First of all, that's an excellent observation, and I had that discussion over the last couple of weeks, and because I'm familiar with how they did that, and that's how I know it can be done, because that area was incentivized. They took an extra penny of the sales tax and into to help to incentivize the developer, and the city agreed to pay for all of the infrastructure work. And improvements to allow that development to happen. Well, why can't we do that out here in corridors, out here? You know, and there's nothing that says that we can't. So I want to use those same tools so that we can have that level of quality shopping, or just really some retail options, you know. People ain't asking for Saks Fifth Avenue, on every corner. But they are asking for some of the bare options and choices that we see popping up other places. And the people in the East have the money to afford and to support businesses like that.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
That's
one of the first things we're going to put on the table, man. So let's take a look at these economic corridors. I mean, you know, what is their highest and best use? How can we retool them to fit what the caller was talking about? And that caller's voice sounded familiar. It sounded like one of our great New Orleanians that I know of that lives out in the East that's been involved in all of these struggles.
That voice, Oliver.
Yes.
If you didn't really know that voice,
yeah,
you should know who she is. You care to share your name with
her? Yes, my name is Gloria Hall Johnson.
There's no greater distinct voice and no one who knows the East the way GHJ does, I can tell you that. And there's no one been fighting for this community longer, and that's real.
Yeah. We want to thank Paula for calling in on today.
Absolutely.
We have such a short show. We want to thank our caller for calling in. As always, Ms. Johnson, we're so very glad to hear from you. We know that you always have something to share with our listeners. So we're going to move right along now, Mr. Thompson, and I know you want to finish your discussion. If anyone else needs to speak with him, any questions or comments or concerns, now is the time to press that number one because we only have a half an hour show. And at that time, I'll bring you live into the studio to speak with our guests on today. And remember, listeners, we are talking and we are discussing on today how to use public policy to help your community, something that we all should know and want to learn how to better our community. Without further ado, but before we bring you back on, Mr. Thompson, I want to ask our co-host if she has any questions for you, because once you start talking, then it's going to be probably close to the end of the show. Co-host, you have any questions for our guests?
Yes. Good evening again. I was just sitting here really listening at some of the things that you all are sharing and Mr. Oliver is sharing and even the caller shared. Those things are not just in New Orleans, and I believe Mr. Oliver said that when we were just doing a brief discussion. They are basically everywhere. After things occurred, even with COVID, a lot of places were not restored, and I hear you all saying the same thing in your area with, you know, having carjackings and different things taking place. So I just think it's probably going to take, pretty much like Mr. Oliver was saying, leadership coming together, identifying those areas, and just coming together to make it happen. I guess we keep trying to figure out how to do that, but it's just going to take a united force, it appears to me.
Well, you know, we can mitigate a lot of those things that are happening on the surface right now. We've done it before. You know, what happens with crime to social ills, to surviving, to disparities, especially in urban corridors, we're on that roller coaster. It gets real bad. We mitigate it. You know, it seems like it's getting better a few years and it goes back up. And that's because we don't deal with the root cause. And, you know, I'm going to say it here and face it out there. We have to have a real discussion about faith, about good versus evil. We have to have a real discussion about how far people of faith are willing to go to have faith in the ability that God gave them to be involved to get it right. And then we're going to have a real discussion. You know, we get mad when folk outside of our community. The black family was the holy grail of African-American community. The black family, that black mother, that big mama, that big papa, that auntie, that cousin, was always strong enough in spite of even when the immediate family failed. So, you know, I would say when we're ready to talk about restoring the black family, when we're ready to talk about restoring black relationships, when we're ready to talk about restoring black faith so that it's not just a Sunday service, but it's a service to God 365 days of the year, 24/7, then we'll be ready to get off that roller coaster and talk about sustaining the stuff that works and creating an atmosphere when the next generation can be proud that we invested the time in critical areas where we would be dealing with the root cause. And when we're ready to have that discussion, then when we're ready to make that kind of commitment, then I think every 5 to 6 or 7 years we won't be having these discussions about how we stop stuff that had already started.
Right.
That's right.
I totally agree.
That is so, so true. So, so very true. Thank you so much.
All right, all right. There you have it. Listen, remember we're talking about city council and on today, community planning, legislative and government, contractors and policies. And our guest on today is sharing so much with us, and I'm enjoying listening to some of the things that he said that he would do if elected here in District D. And I know that he's a strong leader. He has led the city of New Orleans before in that capacity. And I know he's going to come back and do an awesome job again. So I'm going to let him continue because we only have a few minutes left in the show before our closing prayer. So, Mr. Thomas, you have it.
Well, you know, we're going to work together. I'm looking for partners. The city of New Orleans, and I've said it in most of my speeches, and even when I talk about it on the show, it's not a diamond in the rough. The city of New Orleans is a diamond that's been treated roughly. And the other day, I got a major endorsement from one of the largest Democratic women's organizations. You know, because, and I think my closing had a lot to do with this, because I said, if someone said they would give you all the land that you needed to develop in the 21st century, would you take it? If someone said they would give you one of the strongest African-American middle classes and upper classes as part of your community, would you want that area? If someone said that they would give you Bayou Sauvage and pristine wildlife preserves to be part of that community, would you take it? If someone said they'd give you the intercoastal and industrial waterways where commerce happens, that happens all over this region and all over this nation and this country, would you take it? If someone said, we'll give you a brand new hospital in the middle of that area and we'll give you a space center where they do billions of dollars in business a year, would you take it? Well, guess what? Everybody would take it, and guess where that area is? That's New Orleans East. So with all of those jewels and all of those diamonds, what have we not done to allow it to be what it is today? People like Gloria Hall Johnson and others invested in this area to show black folk that they could create a place, a space, a city, a town of their own, and own their own homes and own their own subdivisions and on their own cul-de-sacs. When people like Gloria Johnson, when they went east, and my aunt and family members, they went east to blaze a trail for us. They didn't go east to burn up the path so that we wouldn't be able to cross to follow them on that trail. Well, it's time for us now to work together, to band together, and it's time for everyone in this region and in this state to realize that if New Orleans East isn't safe, no one else is safe. If New Orleans East doesn't grow, well, guess what? The city doesn't grow. And what happens if you keep taking away from something? You wind up with nothing. Well, New Orleans East adds to the pot. It's time to add to New Orleans East. I'm Oliver Thomas. I'm number 72. I'm a little boy. I grew up in the Lower Ninth Ward. Everything that's about my family owns is in New Orleans East, in the Ninth Ward. And New Orleans East is the big part of the Ninth Ward, the Lower Ninth Ward. Is the smaller part of the Ninth Ward. My number 72 in evangelist, guess what? 7 plus 2 equal what? 9. So God doesn't make any mistakes, right?
No, he
don't. Don't make no
not
mistakes.
None.
Of the show, can you share some information with our listeners how to contact you or your campaign?
Absolutely.
Before leaving the
Absolutely. Here. My campaign website is olivermthomas.com. www.olivermthomas.com. Our campaign headquarters is 10555 Lake Forest Boulevard, Suite 3E, and that's in the Deer Park Plaza across from the library in Joe Brown Park. But you can go to www.olivermthomas.com and see what we're doing and contribute. Man, look, anything you contribute, $1, $5, $10. Barack Obama raised hundreds of millions of dollars from $5 and $10 and $20 donors. You know, we can do the same in our municipal elections, man. We don't have to worry about the big guys if the little people are stepping up in mass and making sure we have money to run these campaigns, get our message out, and also be accountable to the people. So I want your vote. I need your vote. But more importantly, I need your prayers. People who know my life, there's no way I'd be in this position now if people hadn't prayed for God's grace and blessing upon me. So most importantly,
amen.
I need your prayers, and I want your help, and I want you to tell everyone a yard sign. Reach out to us, man. We'll bring you. If you want me to just come by and mask up with COVID protocols, just to look you in the eye at 6 feet and tell you what I'm about because you want to meet me, you can reach out to the campaign and the website. I'll do that too.
God bless you. God bless you. Unfortunate listeners, we've come to the end of the show on today. We're praying for the coronavirus victims, the babies, and we're praying for the entire city. We're certainly going to keep Miss Oliver Tunnels in our prayers. And this is the end of the show for today. God bless you and God keep you. Goodbye, listeners. Thank you for
Jesus
tuning
name,
in.
Amen. God bless you guys.
Mr. Oliver.